Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our second in our sermon series on the letter to James continues in chapter 2, where we read selective verses there as indicated. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, chosen by God for birth by the word of truth. Imagine yourselves in the midst of a group of many of your friends. And then you would choose to say out loud, one of you is my favorite. Parents, think about your children. Which one of your children would you elevate to a higher position where you treated them better than you treated your other children? I'm not supposed to ask my granddaughters, who their favorite grandpa is. When I was at the seminary, our professors taught us not to show favoritism among our members or among our visitors. They taught us that because they taught us God's word. And here it is. This is God's word that forbids us Christians and Bethlehem congregation collectively from showing favoritism. Believers in Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. We'll look at two aspects of that under our theme this morning. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. First, that means that God has not shown favoritism. God has not been partial in his choices. And secondly, that means that we show our faith in deeds. Favoritism means to show partiality. What I favor, I turn my face toward and turn my face away from everything else. That's favoritism. Another word for that is partiality, or literally distinguishing and creating a difference. We're all partial. We're partial to a particular sports team. We're partial to shopping at a particular grocery store. We're particular about the type of clothing that we wear compared to others. One group that often becomes the object of favoritism is the rich. Those early Christians were showing favoritism and partiality to those who would come to their meetings wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. And we know that because what James literally tells them is not don't show favoritism. Literally, it means stop showing favoritism. So apparently, that was what the congregation was doing. They were giving the best seats in the house to the wealthy and were making the poor and the dirty stand aside or sit down at their feet where maybe they wouldn't stand out quite so much. God forbids such partiality, such favoritism in His church. Another word for that is discrimination, or drawing a difference with evil thoughts. That's what discrimination is. It's drawing differences among people with evil thoughts, with evil intentions toward those people. And it is for this reason that God forbids us and tells us to stop showing favoritism. Because God did not show favoritism. God did not pick you and me to be rich in faith because we were rich. By the same token, God didn't choose us because we're poor, as if that somehow merited or earned His love. What James is really saying is that whether you're rich or poor, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter what language you speak, no matter who your ancestors are, He did not choose you and me for any of those reasons. God did not show any favoritism, any partiality, any discrimination by choosing some and not others for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. God has in Christ reconciled the world to Himself, not counting our sins against us. In this manner, God loved the world that He sent Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, He did it for everybody. He didn't show any partiality. It isn't for some and not others. When the law and the gospel call and bring us to repentance, that call does not go out to some and not to others. It goes out to all of us, to all the world. We read a similar parallel account of this, remember, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter thought that the Jews were still God's special chosen people. Do you remember what God did? Remember, He let down that big sheet from heaven, and that sheet was filled with all kinds of clean and unclean animals. And then He said to Peter, "Slay and eat." And Peter said, "Now I get it. Now I know that there is no difference, that God does not show favoritism." As Luther asked, what does this mean? It means that we Christians are to stop showing favoritism. It means as a congregation, we are not to discriminate, to not play favorites when it comes to opening our doors and welcoming people into our midst. It means that the seats are for everyone. It means that the Word of God that we share is for everyone. It means that we declare Jesus Christ their Savior as well as ours. When we look at people, we welcome those wearing gold and fine clothes. And yes, we would welcome even the lady who I saw outside my kitchen window in Arizona drinking out of my water faucet, who had purple hair and filthy, dirty rags on her body. We welcome one and all. We don't discriminate or play favorites or show partiality because God has not done so and does not do so. That's true in sharing the gospel, but it's also true in pointing out sin. It's also true in necessary and loving calling to see sin in our lives and in others' lives. It means looking for deeds that manifest true faith. Those things together. And that really leads us to the second part of God having chosen the poor to be rich in faith. And that is faith shows itself in deeds or in actions. Love your neighbor as yourself, James says. That is the royal law. It's the royal law because it comes from the King of Kings. It is the royal law because it comes from the Lord of Lords who rules over all things and whose will is perfect. It is the demand that we, his subjects, be perfect just as he is perfect. It means always do right. Always love your neighbor as yourself. It means don't draw a difference with evil thoughts and intents about other people, no matter who those people may be. We know, don't we, that there is a misunderstanding in the world, and sadly even among some of our fellow Christians, about what that really means in application. There is a difference between discrimination and rightly pointing out error. There's a difference between not loving your neighbor and loving your neighbor so much that you go to him or her and point out their sins against God. We see that very clearly in the incident of Jesus and the woman taken in adultery. The first part of that is often quoted, where the woman was going to be stoned, and Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you." But then after that, Jesus declared, "Go and sin no more." So it's not discrimination. It's not showing partiality. It's not playing favorites by not loving everyone and accepting everything that everybody does. But it is love. It is carrying out the royal law of love. When someone comes to us or we go to them and say, "I don't condemn you for what you're doing, but God says that's not my will. Repent and go and sin no more." Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, is that a big mirror. You know, we look into that mirror and we see that we have not kept that regularly, let alone perfectly. We're all guilty of discrimination We're all guilty of partiality. We're all guilty of playing favorites in our lives. King David wrote in Psalm 143, "No one is righteous before you." We all judge others with evil intentions and understanding. People who are different from us, or not quite the kind of people that we would like in church. Not quite our caliber of member that we would like to have as part of our congregational family. James puts the result of that conviction, of that mirror of the law, right out there. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Remember from Catechism that the law is not a bunch of individual commandments, so that if I say, well, I've kept these, or if I haven't kept these, but I've kept these other ones. The law is a unit. It's one law. Love. And if I break one application of that law, then I am guilty of breaking the entire law. And James goes on then to describe the relationship of faith and doing works of love, of striving to obey the law. He says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. No action doesn't make a corpse, but a corpse has no action. The one isn't the cause of the other. The one is the evidence of the other. So I say, you know, I have faith in Christ. I believe in Jesus. But there's my needy brother or sister, and I say to them, God be with you. Be warm. Be well fed. Hope everything goes well for you. But then I don't do anything to help them. When I just send them on their way without helping, then I am showing that really I don't have any faith. I can say I believe in God. I can say I believe in Jesus and I love Him. But if there's no deeds, if there's no evidence to support that, that shows then that that faith doesn't really exist. That faith is dead. James says, I will show you my faith by my deeds. And those deeds are the good works of charity that we do in Christian love for our loved ones and for our brothers and sisters. St. John writes a little bit differently in his first epistle, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. In other words, God does not look on material possessions, material wealth, who your relatives are, what language you speak, your skin color, your social status, any of those things. He chooses us by His grace in Christ, so that we would be rich in faith. The riches of faith are the forgiveness of our sins, that new spiritual life in Jesus Christ that seeks to do God's will, that eternal salvation in heaven. God grant that we always are rich in showing that faith by keeping the royal law of love and by stopping showing favoritism, partiality, or discrimination in any aspect of our Christian lives. Amen.